it's time for your bi-weekly conversation, bi-monthly, bi-something. I'm not really sure. With the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, Kyle Shanahan. Coach, what's going on?
Not much, guys. How you guys doing?
Doing good. I think we can all agree on this point. It's a lot more fun having a conversation with you after you guys win.
Oh, I appreciate it. It's a lot more fun for me to do everything.
Yes, I'm sure it is. What was it? Boy, I mean, hell of a start to the game, hell of a drive, hell of a first half, really. It was almost a perfect first half. But aside from that, it felt like the attitude was different. It just felt like guys were popping and guys, I don't want to say we're into it because they were, but I don't want to take away from them that they weren't into it all the time, although there was a lot of lapses in the Arizona game. But did this one feel different just right off the rip?
I think it did because, I think all three phases fed off each other. Right. You know, I think even when we've started fast in some other games, it's just been on one side of the ball, whether it's the defense going or whether it's the offense going. When it's happened, the other side hasn't done the same. And it's kind of been in the second halves too. And there's always been a letdown right when the other one gets going. And this game, you know, we wanted to go in and play a physical game. You know, we took it as a team goal to run the ball that much. And then the biggest thing we said is if we're going to run the ball that much, we got to make sure that as a team, we're going to be the most physical team, and we got to get some turnovers. And to start the first drive out with that turnover on defense, really, I think, juiced everyone up. And then for the defense to sit there and watch the offense for 45 minutes on one drive where you get 13 runs, I think really juiced them up. And then to get the pick six the next drive, it just everyone kept feeding off each other, and it was great. And, you know, when the offense did settle down for a couple drives in the third quarter, when we had to punt, you know, that's when the defense stepped it up even more and had three straight three and outs, which kind of ended it for them. Yeah. So, you know, it was just the cumulative thing of everyone doing it back to back.
What gave you the confidence that, because if you're going to run that much, you're going to have to convert some third downs. And you guys haven't been great at that this year. What gave you the confidence that this game plan against this team with these guys that, you know what, we're going to be in some third down situations if we want to run it as much as we want to. I feel like we can get it done and keep drives moving along.
Well, I mean, I can't lie. When I told him that we're going to run the ball 40 times, when I got up to my room later that night, I was like, what was I thinking? That's going to be so hard to do. but it was more regardless. It was a mindset. And,
exactly.
And that's what I was really trying to do, not just for the team, but also for myself. I mean, you got to have that mindset to do that. And no, that won't happen unless you do better on third down than you've done all year, and you do that good on defense and you get the turnover. So we had that mindset. We did better on third down and we got a couple turnovers and we didn't give the ball up, so it all ended up equaling out to what the goal was. But you know, I think it started with the mindset and it carried over to third down. And when you run the ball that well, you know, I'd like to say third down's its own deal, but I think your whole team plays better when you run the ball like that.
Yeah.
All of a sudden you can block better because the guys aren't pass rushing as much. They've been defending so many things and they're getting worn down, so you get a hair more time against the team that you needed against. I think the way our receivers competed blocking, I mean, if you just go back and watch Ayuk and Juwan Jennings and Trent Sherfield and Deebo, you watch how they're blocking in that game.
Yep.
I mean, they're some of the most physical guys out there, and I think when you play that way, it gets you so into the game that before you know it, you're running your routes better. You're attacking the ball better. You're just doing everything a lot more alert, and I think it carried over to everything.
Yeah.
Now Jennings is this guy's a football player, man. He loves to block and he loves to be physical, and you could see it. I wanted to ask you about a particular play. It was the first third down on your first drive, Kyle. You got Leonard Floyd, who's a great edge rusher, ISO'd in pass coverage against Kittle. Did the defense give you the look you wanted there? I mean, that to me, it seems like that's a win. Anytime you can get a pass rusher like that to have to play pass coverage against maybe one of the best receiving tight ends in the game, that's a win. But is that the way you had it, dialed up or drawn up when you thought of that play initially?
Well, that play in particular, we got the right coverage on it, but who they drop is their inside. It's all a little too much coach talk I'm about to give you, but,
That's
they drop
okay,
their,
love it.
when they drop their inside defenders, they can do two of their linebackers who start off the ball, or they can do their two outside linebackers, which is Floyd and Von Miller, however they plan it out. That's why there's such a hard blocking scheme, because you have no idea who's coming, and they make it impossible to double Aaron, usually on third down. But besides who the inside linebacker was, it was all about, you know, they're three deep. They carried all verticals on the outside. So there was just a different scheme that you could do where you sit everyone on the outside vertical, and you got Kittle to stem in, then stem back out, where Leonard's expecting help out there, but all those guys have ran vertical routes, so we lost it. So, and regardless of who was on, you'd much rather be on the line linebacker, but he's also expecting help. So that was one of the plays that worked out. We got what we wanted, but I thought, well, when we got what we wanted, it would be an 8-yard gain, not an 18-yard gain. So that's what Kittle made happen.
Understood everything you just said there. Coach Kyle Shanahan joining us on the Tolbert, Kruger, and Brooks show. He is on the UMA guest line. So naturally, the conversation becomes looking forward to the game in Jacksonville and beyond. How can you guys take what you did this past Monday and apply it to these upcoming games? To me, the one thing that it can transfer and needs to transfer, your offensive line was an absolute force on Monday. And it played very well a couple of weeks ago against the Bears. To me, if you get that out of your line, not just with the run blocking, but the pass protection as well, no matter who you play, you guys are going to give yourselves the best chance to win with that front five getting it done.
No, there's no doubt. I mean, and that's also what scares me with Jacksonville, too. I mean, because there's two things that Jacksonville does really, really well. And they stop the run. You know, they're a top five run defense in yards per carry. They commit to it from a scheme standpoint also. And the best thing they do on offense is run the ball. So when you got a team who can run the ball and stop the run, you better play good. If you come in there and you're off and you turn the ball over and it's hard to control it because of how good they run the ball, they're a tough team. And that's what happened with Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo had a chance, and they missed a few opportunities in the first half to score, and they just let them hang around. And before you know it, it's 6-6 in the fourth quarter, and they're just banging their head against the wall trying to go against that defense. So you got to be very careful with that. The O-line, they'll always do better when you can establish that run. I think it's going to be a little bit harder this week on some things, and that's why we're going to have to balance it out with third downs just like last time. But it all ties together.
I'm curious the fourth and sixth play, the 40-yard touchdown to Samuel, because that game was no lock at that point. It's 24-7, about 11 minutes left to go in the game. And if you would have punted it, nobody would have batted an eye. They'd have thought you punt it, you make them go the length of the field. That would have been completely understandable. How much of that was just an attitude thing that we're not going to try to, you know, I don't want to say turtle, but just kind of play it safe and just we'll punt it and make them drive the length of the field instead of saying, you know what, we've been kicking ass this whole game. Let's go ahead and take it.
I think it's an attitude thing because it has to be, not just because, hey, let's be aggressive because we're pumped up today.
Yeah.
It's, we know the team we're going against. And I believe it was a 17-point game at that time, which is three scores, and that's nothing. And when you do punt it, you're not guaranteed for it to land inside the 10.
That's,
you know, there's a good chance when you try to hit it inside the 10, it's going to go into the end zone. And that means you're only getting a 20-yard punt. So like if it would have been a tie game, then I think a lot of people would have expected us to go for it, or if we were only up by one score. And that's kind of how I felt. And, you know, I know our defense was playing very well at the time. So if we didn't get it, I still was confident we could stop them. And I also was very confident in our offense at the time, the way our wideouts were playing, the way we were blocking, the way Jimmy was throwing. So that's something I think I would have done early in the game if it was tied. And I didn't feel much different with a 17-point lead, because if you are going to punt it, whether they have to go 90 or whether they have to go 60, they're either going to be on or not, and the Rams can score like that. So it wasn't that tough of a decision for
me. Got it.
We're talking to Kyle Shanahan on the UMA guest line, and Niners coming off a win, being Jacksonville on Sunday, and of course we'll get pregame going right bright and early at 7 a.m. You know, sometimes you'll see a play and you'll go, wow, that was extraordinary. And to me, the extraordinary play in this game was the DJ Jones tackle in the flat against a tight end in space. I mean, you just don't expect a 6-foot, 320-pound man to make that kind of play. But the way he made the play, Kyle, made me think that it was something D'Amico had clued him into before the play happened. Can you give us any background on that? What did you think of that when you watched it over?
When I watched it live, I had no idea what happened. Because I saw DJ make the tackle. I'm like, where the heck did he come from? And I didn't really, and then I have to jump right back into calling plays and the offense is up. So you move on very fast. But when I got home, that night, and I'm watching it on SportsCenter, and I saw the play, and I mean, that was one of the best plays I've seen. You know, it was awesome by Flanagan, seeing the original guy who they had, but, that's something that, you know, Hightower, special teams coordinator, they go through a lot, and the nose, when he does see the guys pick it up, he's supposed to leak out there. Now, for him to leak out there and to do it that fast was impressive. DJ was on it. There was no hesitation. And then he got that guy in space, and I thought he looked just like a linebacker with his long stride, short stride, shoot your guns. And it was a nice tackle, and it was a big time play. And, you know, we had some momentum at the time, but that even doubled momentum up. And I think that was a big play.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
This year.
I want to congratulate you, Kyle, on now 2 weeks of not having to answer questions about your quarterback and changes that should be made. So congratulations to you. Well, really, congratulations to Jimmy, but congratulations to you.
I appreciate it. That's my goal.
I mean, he was as accurate and as decisive as I've ever seen him. And you know, obviously, he was in a rhythm. He was very well protected. You know, I mentioned the offensive line a little while ago. As well as your receivers blocked, they caught the ball as well. Just the way that Garoppolo is playing right now, it is reminiscent of a couple of years ago when you guys were really doing big things on your way to the Super Bowl.
No, yeah, he played a hell of a game, and you know, I think, you know, Jimmy, the throws that we had made were such big throws, because yeah. You knew we were committed to running the ball and stuff, which that only works if you're on it as a thrower and on it with your receivers and everything and on in your protection. And sometimes that's really tough to do when you don't give guys more opportunities. You know, I know a quarterback with, they'll say a lot, you know, 3rd and 10 would be a lot easier if you gave me a chance on 2nd and 10. you know, and sometimes you run the ball because you want to get to 3rd and 5, but some guys just want 2 shots at it, and that gets a lot tougher. So you got to be exact. And if you're just off and it takes you a little bit to go, I mean, that's the difference in the game, because you'll never, eventually I won't be able to stick with the run. I'll have to throw it a little bit more, and I'll be less patient on 2nd and long. And, but when the time was needed, Jimmy was on it, made some big plays and some big throws. And, it was reminiscent of 19, but I think that was more just from a team standpoint that, that's how you want to do it when you're kind of dominating someone, you know, defensively, you know, at least from the score and stuff, keeping them out of the end zone. It allows us to be a little bit more patient, allows us to stick with the run. And, but that only lasts if you're throwing the ball well on 3rd down. So credit to those guys, and did a hell of a job.
Should we expect to see Deebo Samuel in the backfield some more?
I mean, like I say about Trey, we always have a play in every week where Deebo can go in the backfield. You know, some weeks we use him more than others. Depends how the game goes. Depends on the plan and some of the looks we're going against. But I don't think we've ever had a game plan where we don't have any play in where Deebo doesn't go back there.
You know, this was such a fun game to watch. I thought schematically the way you used Deebo in the backfield, I thought was really fun. But one of the things that I thought was kind of interesting is that is Garoppolo, Kyle, more comfortable from the shotgun than under center in the play action game? Because his numbers the last 3 weeks have been really good. And there's been a lot less play action from under center, and he's operating a lot more, it seemed like, out of the shotgun. Is that just because that's where he's more comfortable?
Well, I honestly, I haven't had a quarterback who wouldn't prefer to be in the shotgun for play action, just because it's so much easier when you never have to take your back against the defense. Unfortunately, sometimes the run actions, they just don't work as well. You know, I think the easiest thing for a quarterback, what I always say to him, I know it's easier to see it and not have your back against it, but the easiest thing is when number one's wide open and you don't have to really do anything else. So that's kind of the goal of it. So you always want to put in a play that helps get number one open. But if you feel that the to play in shotgun can do it just as easily as under center, then you'll always choose shotgun because, yes, Jimmy's more comfortable in it, but also so is Matt Ryan. So is every other quarterback I've coached.
Can you detail the challenges of this short week, what you guys have to cut out or what you guys have to rearrange because you played on Monday? And we were talking to Steve Young yesterday, and you know he detailed from a player's perspective the challenges, and he said it was mental and physical, but mostly mental. Speak on that if you don't mind, but first just kind of give us a thumbnail sketch of what the week is like with it being cut a day.
Yeah, well, I mean, usually we always come in on a Monday and put the game to rest. You know, we review it all as coaches, and the players come in and we review it all, and the players get out, they get Tuesday off, and we use all of Tuesday to prepare a game plan to teach them on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And so you lose your Monday. So Tuesday, you don't review the game. That's you just use Tuesday for the coaches to game plan and do it all. And that is hard, you know, especially emotionally. You're tired, all the stuff that went into the week before. But you got to – usually when I'm putting in a game plan on Tuesday and we start early in the morning, I've been watching the team, you know, from 3 o'clock in the afternoon from on Monday till when I go to bed. So I got such a good feel for the team, and then I can really put together a plan on Tuesday. We're here for coaches. Tuesday comes, and that's the first time we're looking at them. So you're trying to put the plan together throughout the day, and you haven't really gotten to just soak in all of the game tape. So you're just watching cut-ups and stuff, but you get it all in, and it's kind of a mess. I mean, just in terms of in your head and everything on Wednesday and Thursday. But as the week slows down, you kind of start to figure it out on Friday, and it's just clear. You know what's in there. You know you watch the cut-ups, but you still have the Monday night game in your memory and stuff like that. So it all kinds of blend together, but now the key is tomorrow. That's why I kind of like going on the road for it. Yeah, I would always choose to not have to worry about crowd noise and being in front of our fans. But when you have it going so fast, I think it's so nice that tomorrow we got a 6-hour plane ride ahead of us, and we'll probably get on there and sleep for half of it. And then you'll get up and you'll have 3 hours to where you can just focus. And I always joke that, you know, there's been so many times in my life that I've watched a movie on a plane and I recommend it to someone how good it is. And then I go and watch it some other time, like at my house or something, and it's like the worst movie I've ever seen. But I feel like because I was on a plane, I had nowhere else to go. I was just locked in and focused. And that's how I feel about the game plan. So I'm pumped that we get on the road. We'll all kind of soak it all in and get some sleep. And I think Saturday we'll be back to normal.
Can you give us an idea of the last movie that you liked on the plane, hated when you watched it off the plane?
Oh, I can't give one off the bat. Right. It's been a while, and I would probably embarrass myself with that.
I learned something, too. Jacksonville has crowd noise. I did not know that. maybe Kyle knows something
he didn't say how much.
We don't, yeah. What I felt like I learned this past week was it's in them. Like that type of game is in this team. Now what I think we learn going forward is can they be consistent with it? Because beating the Rams is awesome. If you lose to Jacksonville, basically it means nothing. You're right back to square one. And this is a, you know, non-divisional game. You got to fly all the way across country, play Jacksonville, who doesn't have a great record. But that doesn't matter. I mean, if you're going to be a team that you end up wanting to be, if you're going to be that team, it's about the consistency and beating teams like this and playing up to your level. How much do you think we'll learn this week against Jacksonville about this team?
Well, I think a lot. I mean, and the main thing is for our players, it's that, I mean, it doesn't matter who you play. I mean, this game can be the way, I mean, just this game's going to end up being a lot harder than last week's was. Mm-hmm. And that's just how the NFL works. Like, it doesn't matter what teams are on paper. It doesn't matter what their records are in the NFL. Like, if you're not ready to play, you're going to get embarrassed. And our guys better be just as ready to play, if not more, than they were last week. And it wasn't – last week seemed perfect, but it's not like it did all perfect.
Yeah.
We had some crucial penalties, some false starts. We jumped off sides on a second and long. We had some things that we messed up, but we were able to overcome them. And that's the biggest thing, that it won't be perfect, and it doesn't matter what type of way you got to win it. I mean, you guys saw how our game was last week, and is that our formula to win? It was last week. How are we going to have to win this week? And that'll be dictated, and it'll unfold as the game goes. But the main thing is the guys just going and understanding that any adversity that happens, I mean, you should have the confidence. Look at last week. You have done it before. Yep. You can overcome it. And whether the defense messes up, believe the offense can overcome it. If the offense messes up, believe the defense can. And just keep doing what you got to do to win. And when the game's over, then you can rest and hopefully be happy that everything that you gave out on the field led to a victory.
Hey, we always appreciate the time. Best of luck. Have a safe trip. And go with Fletch. Fletch is always a classic coach. You can't go wrong with Fletch on the plane. Trust me.
I hear there's a new Narcos out. So
I just finished it up last night, actually. I love Narcos. Now, terrific. I don't know how great – like, I don't know how you are with – like, I don't love reading, but I didn't mind it with this one. I don't know how they make you feel on a plane about – you got to concentrate, obviously, and read the – read the dialogue, but Narcos is awesome. I love, I can't wait. The fourth one, I'm guessing Chapo will kind of be the guy, but this is a really, if you like the first two, you'll like this one.
No, yeah, that's what I'm guessing too. It might be too much focus for me now. I'll probably have to wait till the off season, but I love Narcos, so I want to see what happens to Chapo.
You know, the one I'm waiting for, and I know you're probably waiting for it too, is the last season of Peaky Blinders.
Oh, totally.
Yes, that'll be good.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait for that one.
That's definitely an off-season watch.
That one's going to be awesome.
You have to figure out what they're saying. Yeah. So.
that one, I need the subtitles.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Thank you, Coach.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
All right,
thanks,
guys. Take care.
Take it easy. Right, appreciate it.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.